We're in the last Sunday of Advent, and we have been in a, we've named our Advent series hashtag Good News, and we started the whole time together with this scripture from Luke, which was the angels talking to the shepherds, where they said, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." And we sort of phrased or coined our series hashtag Good News. We've looked at good news for the world, good news for the community, good news for the church, and guess what we get to look at today? Good news for you, us, together. I want to read to you this morning from the book of Ephesians, which is a bit of a strange reading for Christmas, for Advent, I understand, but it's going to help us to understand what this good news for us is. It's a difficult reading to listen to, because it's quite complex, so I will try to read slowly and clearly as we go through. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who are the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right. We are talking about good news for you, for the individual today. But it actually doesn't start there. I want to make a statement that I believe to be true. And it says this, you might have heard me say this before. Discipleship is a life-transforming journey toward Christ and a life-transforming journey in and toward Christ. So discipleship is a life-transforming journey toward Christ and a life-transforming journey in and toward Christ. I want to encourage you to go home and read Colossians 1, 16 to 20, because it also speaks into what we unpack here this morning in Ephesians. In Ephesians 1, we hear this truth, that God's plan is to bring all things into unity under the lordship of Christ. We know that the disciples were taught to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven." And this is what the work of Christ is doing now, bringing all things into unity under Christ. Does it feel like that? If you've been watching American politics this week, does it feel like there's unity there? If you've been watching Australian politics this week, do you think that there's unity there? Do we think that there's this wonderful plan that God is actually bringing all things into unity under Christ when we see the state of our country, of our world? It doesn't feel like that at times, does it? But this is actually what is going to happen. And in fact, it will continue to happen until Christ comes again. And this is where the good news for us starts. Believe it or not, it doesn't start with us. It's not, as Kath or Kim would say, look at me. Because that's how we think about our discipleship, right? And more means about us first. It is not about us first. It actually begins with what God is doing in Christ, which is bringing all things into unity under His Lordship. And as a result of that, not as a result of because you prayed a prayer, not as a result because you thought something or believed something, it's a result of what God is doing in Christ first and foremost that brings good news to you. And because of this, because that's what God is doing in Christ, let me say very clearly that every single person that you know, every single person that you that you walk across, every single person in your life and every single person you don't know, is actually on a journey toward Christ. Every single person is on a journey toward Christ. Every single human one day will acknowledge the Lordship of Christ. And for some there will be great joy and great celebration and wonder, and for others there could be feelings of regret or pain. But whether they know it or not, whether they recognize it or not, whether they like it or not, every single person is on a journey toward Christ. And every single person will one day bow the knee and acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus. This is what God is doing. This is where we speak. And God's plan will come to pass. Okay, whoops. I need to have some volunteers. And I did warn Nick that he's going to be one of my volunteers today, because Nick's such a good sport. Nick, can I get you to come up here, please? And Zoe's a good sport too. No, she's not. Okay. You don't do push-ups, no. No push-ups up to come. Nick, can I ask you to stand down here, please? Vicky, I'm going to ask you to stand here. Come on, Zoe. You don't have to do anything. You just have to stand here. You're over there. And Zoe, you're over here. Okay. Just a little bit further that way because I need to read my notes. Thank you. Okay. I want to illustrate what I mean by everyone's on a journey towards Christ. This is what Scripture actually tells us, what we read in Ephesians, what we read in Colossians. So we've got three different people here, and the illustration I'm using looks a bit linear, but we all recognise that sometimes our journey of faith is nothing like linear, okay? So here we go. Zoe. Zoe is... That's okay, sweetheart. You just look over here. You just look at that air conditioning unit. We're going to pretend that's the cross of Jesus, okay? You're experiencing the goodness of Jesus right now with that air conditioning. Okay? Zoe is someone who has said yes to Jesus. Zoe is... Woo! Zoe... Okay, this is not real... Well, that is real life. But these are just examples, okay? This is not speaking to anyone's faith journey. Okay? Because you know what's coming, Nick, right? You know what's coming, mate. Zoe has said yes to the forgiveness of sins, yes to Jesus. Vicky... has heard about God and believes there is a God, but doesn't quite know what to do with that or isn't doing anything with it. Sort of sitting on the fence. Not too comfortable. And then there's Nick. You need to look out that way, mate. There we are. Nick has no belief or interest in God. No belief or interest in God. You can look anywhere you like now, mate. That's okay. Here's the reality. This is what Scripture teaches us. All of them are on a journey toward Christ. Each one of them are on a journey toward Christ, whether they know it or not, or like it or not. And so if we think of the air conditioning unit up there as a cross of Christ, and there's light that comes from that. Okay, that there is light, not just coolness, but there's light coming from the cross. Nick may not actually see too much light, but maybe shadows. There might be shadows in his life. Is God speaking to Nick? Absolutely. God absolutely is. We know because Romans tells us that through creation, through a whole range of things, God is speaking to all people. But Nick may not see it that way. He might interpret things differently. He knows everything the world has to offer. He knows its joy and its pain. But where Nick's at, it's just like, well, we live, we enjoy life, eat, drink, be merry, and we die. Vicky knows something of the light. There's some illumination in her life. And she's hearing things but not sure how to respond. Not pressing into it. And is on that fence. Then you have Zoe with the halo. Oops, sorry, it slipped. Okay. And Zoe is experiencing and living in the joy and the love and the grace and the fulfillment and all these things that come with having a relationship with Jesus. That's where she's at. Life still might be tough for Zoe at times. There may be pain. But because she knows that God is with her, she can get through it. Now, a question to you this morning is, where are you on this journey? Where would you identify yourself at? Have you placed your trust in Jesus? Do you have a belief in a God but not quite sure what to do with that? Or are you just happy to do as I keep on doing and not have anything to do with a God or God at all? Here's the good news. No matter where you are on your journey, guess what? God is at work in your life. No matter where our friends and our family are, wherever they are, God is at work in their life. Our job is to participate in what God is doing so they may see the transforming work of Jesus. It is good news to know that we are all on a journey towards Christ and God is at work in everyone's life. You can sit down for the moment. I'll need you back again soon. The second time will be easier. I want you to hold that picture in mind for a moment. Hold this picture. It's important that we talk about this morning because it's good news for us. Hold that picture. There's a word that Paul uses that I want to pick up on, and it's a much misused word and comes with a whole lot of baggage over the years. And that's the word predestination. Predestination. It happens in verses... I meant to put that up before. Anyway. Verses 4 and 5 firstly, and then in verse 11. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. In him, verse 11, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Okay. Predestination basically means determined beforehand, to decide definitively beforehand. I want you to capture the good news, the gift of this word. Okay? Paul is saying that God determined beforehand that you would be adopted as his children. God chose you even before you were born to be holy and blameless. Long before you believed, long before you trusted in Christ, God determined, God's determined plan was that you should know his love, his forgiveness, his grace, his mercy, his joy. And that you would be his child. And that's sweet. And it's good news. Because what it means, it doesn't matter the circumstances of your birth. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what your life's been about. It doesn't matter if you've been good or bad. Because even with all these things, you have been chosen. You have been chosen. There is nothing better when you're chosen to be on a team. Nothing better. And you know, I had a conversation with somebody the other day that says, I always talk to my family before I tell stories about them. And I just realized I didn't ask Jake about this story, but I've told her before, so it'll be fine. He just gave me the thumbs up. I remember Jacob was, when we came over here, how long have we been here? Long time. 2013. It was Jacob's, I think, second day at school, new kid, didn't know anyone, and they were picking teams for soccer. Jacob wasn't the first kid chosen. He wasn't the second kid chosen. He was pretty much the second last kid chosen. And it was like, you know, who knows what it's like to not be chosen for something? It's awful, isn't it? He got chosen second last. Now, I think there might have been some... The kid that was after him, the way I remember the story, was might have had a disability or something like that. This is where Jacob was. He was last. Second last. He told me the story and I said, well, how'd you go? He goes, I scored 5 goals. Guess what? Do you reckon he was chosen last next day? There's nothing worse, isn't there, than not being chosen for something. And the good news that we hear in Paul when we talk about this word predestination is that God has chosen you. You're not last on the list, but you have been chosen to be a part and be called His child. Before you prayed the right prayer, God chose you. Whether you were good or bad, God chose you because He loves you. Now, this predetermined plan of God is determined in Christ and through Christ. In Christ and through Christ. Now, we're heading somewhere. You need to go with me on this. So I think some of you are already nervous because I use the word predestination, right? Some of you are already sort of like, come on, Glenn, where are you going with this? It is because of Christ that every human being is forgiven and adopted. Every human being is forgiven and adopted. But also it is through Christ and through faith in Christ that this incredible plan of God becomes a reality in our experience both now and ultimately for eternity. How do I get there? Romans 5 says this, God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Okay. Who were we? What were we? Sinners. Now, no one likes hearing that word. It's a really unpopular word that says very not PC. Very, very not PC to say the word sinner or you're a sinner. But guess what? I'm not telling you this. The Bible is. You're a sinner. Is there any hope for you? Yes, there is. Is it the end of the story? No. Who did Christ die for sinners? Who is a sinner? Who's not a sinner here? Just let me know. Some of you want to put your hand up, don't you? You know, I was talking to the people at 7:30 service, and sometimes it's generational, but, we've never done anything wrong. And I say, oh, liar. Scripture tells us that everyone's fallen short of the glory of God. And it's not that you're a bad person, it's just that sin sort of takes over. This self-centeredness and this desire for me to be first and before everything else takes over. Does Scripture say Christ died only for those who have repented? No. I can't find that anywhere. Did Christ die only for those who repented? No. Not at all. Scripture says, died for sinners. In verse 9 of Romans 5, we read this. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? When were you reconciled? You were reconciled while you were God's. It's very strong words, isn't it? Again, we don't like this sort of understanding. And in that day, there was this understanding of you're either for or against, you know? So if you're not for me, then you're an enemy. That's how that sort of gets to that point. But the death and resurrection of Christ changed everything. Absolutely everything. It's changed the situation for every person, past, present and future. Because of the death and resurrection of Christ, every person who was once God's enemy, who were once under the wrath, that's a terrible word, wrath of God, now live under His forgiveness and His grace. And that everyone, because of Christ, has been reconciled to God. Again, some of you might be panicking at the moment, going, Glenn, where are you going with this? And here's a question, which is actually good news, but is often not seen that way. Does that mean everyone is saved? Does that mean everyone is saved? Well, let me say, God's predetermined plan is made possible because Christ and God's predetermined plan was that you'd be chosen, that everyone would be chosen to be His children. The reality is, though, We only experience the reality of it and enter into the fullness of it when we trust in Christ. Is that making sense? Big thoughts. Big thoughts. I'm going to invite my actors to come back up, please. And if you would stand in the same positions, that would be great. Okay. Not trick questions. Let me ask you. Who does God love out of these three? Who has God forgiven out of all these three? Who is God speaking to out of all these three? Who has God chosen to be His children out of all three? Who's been bought under the lordship of Jesus Christ? All of them. They all are. We're all on a journey towards Christ. Who is in a secure and saved relationship with Jesus? It's not reality. It's just an example. It's not reality. No, go all the way back there. No, you're on the fence, remember? John 3:16, perhaps the best known passage in the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that so whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. God gave His Son. It's been done. It's past. Whoever believes. We read in Acts that there is no other name under heaven by which you can be saved other than Jesus. God's grace is acting on each of these people's lives. But at some stage, God's predetermined plan intersects with human will. It intersects with human will, and at that point, people believe or don't believe. They accept or don't accept. They trust or they don't trust. And this is heartbreaking, isn't it? It's heartbreaking. Because God loves Nick and Vicky in the same way that God loves Zoe. You didn't think I was going to say that, right? Yeah. But it's heartbreaking because they haven't experienced the love and the security of an ongoing relationship with Jesus. What's good news for them? Well, let me say this, that God's love is universal. God's heart is universal. Scripture is very clear. All are to be saved, that none should perish. His love is universal. His forgiveness is universal. His voice is universal. His plan is universal, but salvation is not. Salvation is not. It is found in and through Christ alone, through faith alone. And the good news quite often comes as offense. This is critical thinking for us because it changes the way that we look at people and we look at creation. It changes the way we do that. That God has already forgiven and said yes to every single person that you lay your eyes on. It's critical thinking theology that leads to practice. You see, if our theology doesn't lead to practice, it's a waste of time. It doesn't matter. This is a starting point, that all things have been brought into unity under the lordship of Christ, and that means all people are on a journey toward Christ. And our prayer and our hope, our task is to participate with what Jesus is already doing so that people may take hold of this good news. It is good news for you and it's good news for your friends. So what do we do with Vicky and Nick? You know what we do? Buy me a beer, Nick.
Sure.
So, Nick, we're role playing now.
Okay.
Actually, we're not going to do that because that would be awkward. But we just, we journey, we walk. We don't try and convert them. It's actually not up to us to do that. Our job is to be good news to Nick. And as a part of that relationship, you know, So you don't, you know, you may not have to talk about God at Christmas. So what do you believe about Christmas? Might be a conversation starter. It might be the worst conversation starter in the world, depending on your family. But you engage with where the person's at. I've seen this time and time again and had this in my life and experience with people. People are willing to speak if you ask. Ask them a question. You know, I ask one of the questions I ask people. So, you know, I believe in God. What do you think about that? And it's an interesting question to see how people answer it. So you don't believe in God. So how did you get to that point of understanding how the world works? There's a million questions, Nick, and we're glad this is just a role play. Vicky. I don't know what question to ask her because I've got to go home and... but again, so you know, what do you do with someone who's sort of like exploring God? You journey with them. You walk with them. That's why intentional outreach is one of our values. That we stand with people, we serve people, and we speak with people. And so it is, we ask questions, so you know, what's been your experience of God? What do you think it might be that might help you take the next step? And actually engage in that process. You can sit down, sorry guys. Sorry. Give them a clap everyone, they put themselves out there. The big thing and the good news to remember is that we celebrate each step on the journey. So if someone, again, it's not linear, I know, but if someone says, well, maybe there is a God, guess what? That's a step on the journey. And we celebrate that. And we give thanks for that. And we thank God for that. And we say, what's our next thing? How can I help you explore if there may be a God? Do you want to talk about that sometime? And they might say, no, not at the moment. Okay. And you look for an opportunity in the future. We celebrate each step because each step is going to be good news because everyone is being brought under the into unity under the Lordship of Jesus. Discipleship is a life-transforming journey toward Christ and a life-transforming journey in and toward Christ. Now, when you get sort of like that place where you say, trust Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins and, you know, and begin to experience more fully the kingdom of God, does your life stop there? No. We haven't got time to get into that today. But this is what the good news is. The good news for you, and therefore the good news for others, is that when Christ came and lived, died and rose again, He was fulfilling the plan that said, you are forgiven. You are my children. And every person that you look upon is a child of God waiting for that moment for their human will to intersect with God's predetermined plan. My question is twofold this morning. Firstly, where are you on this journey? No right or wrong on this. Just where are you? And secondly, how will you be good news to someone else with this? Let's stop and pray. Lord, as we've journeyed through Advent and we've looked at good news and it's been good news for the world, there's been joy, there's been peace, there's been hope. And today we, in many ways, speak out the incredible reality of your unending, incredible, outrageous love. That you have loved us so much that you came, you lived, you died, you rose again to break the power of sin and the effect of sin. It's your incredible love that holds us, Lord. Your incredible love that even if we don't always sense it, is there. Lord, help us to take the journey towards you. Help us to, those of us here this day, I pray for those of us here that are here this day, Lord, that do know you as Lord and Saviour, that you would help us to enjoy you And that, Lord, when the times in life get tough and difficult, that we may not turn away, but we would turn to you and embrace you even more fully. Lord, if there be those amongst us this day who believe that there is a God, but don't 100% know what that means for their lives, and Lord, I pray for them too. That somehow, even through this day, that you would be speaking and drawing them to yourself. That they would even indeed, Lord God, recognize not just that their sins are forgiven, but that, Lord, you have a hope and a future for them, and in you they can trust. And Lord, be those amongst us this morning who are here because, for whatever reason, Lord, and don't really believe in you. Lord, I thank you for the good news that you're at work in their life. That you love them and there's nothing they can do about it. And that, Lord, that somehow that they might begin to respond to you. Lord, as we enter into this time of Christmas, the time when we remember and we celebrate the birth of Christ who didn't just stay a baby but grew. Lord, help us to never lose that you came to bring peace on earth. The shalom peace. A peace between all people and God. A peace within ourselves and a peace between ourselves and others. Lord, would your kingdom come in this and would your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray this in his name. Amen.